Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Oh, my. Oh, and look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling. The 11th day of culture, number 11.
We are closing in on the day of culture. That is the 12th. I mean, we have to get something straight.
Yes.
Everyone is thinking that the order is important, and it is, but everyone was saying that the first day of culture, which was McDonald's opens its doors for the first time, was the most important culture. I don't think that's necessarily true. Do you agree?
No, I actually would go as far as to say that nothing matters. I would sort of put out there, I would throw out there as an option that it doesn't matter actually at all. And that
actually,
we're sort of just goofling. Like the way in Destiny's Child's song, they said, trifling. We are what I would say, goofling.
Goofling. I went the octave down.
Mama, Flimba, we had a weekend. Flimba, we had a
Flimba weekend.
Should we just like, we have to run through before this, because we can't not talk about the fact that basically what happened was... On the sketch program Saturday Night Live, no, we're not talking about that one yet. Because that actually is going to segue into the topic at hand in a viscerally stupid way.
The day of culture, we should say. We'll segue into the day of culture.
Yes, but let's just talk about how basically Dua Lipa pantomime railed you from behind and spanked you while your head was in the crotch of Kristen Wiig, thereby creating a Eiffel Tower situation in which you were the middle. That was culture.
I was the arm. Is that what they call it?
I have no idea. Honestly, my culture, we speak more a human centipede. You were what scholars call the quote unquote best part of the human centipede, which is like right in the middle.
That is the best part.
That's where you want to be if you're going to be in one.
Because you're giving it away, but you're getting it from the other half. It's not
honey.
Like, because even if you're the third person in the human centipede, it's like, oh, but see, this has been passed down so many times. I don't know that I'm getting like the experience that I want. Do you think the last person in the centipede has it best?
I think the middle person in the centipede has it best, because mama, if I'm going to be in that situation, I want to eat butt and get my butt ate. Here's how I feel about the person in the front. Then they have to kind of speak for the group. You know what I mean? Like they have to sort of be the mouthpiece, the ambassador of the human centipede. They have to sort of guess how the other two are feeling, and you don't know. In the back, it's kind of like...
Oh, this is just a three-person centipede?
Oh, wow.
We're not making it longer than three? I'm just thinking, like, human centipede at this point, it seems indefinitely numbered. It's like, it's many, many, many people.
That's true.
Or it can be very few people.
I guess my whole perspective on it is, if you're in a human centipede of seven... Number two is getting the same experience as number four or five. You know what I mean? Unless number three... Go on.
I'm saying... Sorry. I meant to say that the people towards the back have it the worst because they're getting the most sort of
shit
handed down shit. Yeah.
So you're talking about this sort of scene. You're very glass half empty about this. You're like, oh no, I'm in human centipede. I'm getting poop, like, sort of... In a line.
You're getting poop no matter...
Right, but I'm sort of being glass half full and being like, I'm eating ass and getting my ass eaten. Like, yeah, fuck.
Oh, no. that rasp, darling,
dude.
Dear.
Fuck,
precious
dude.
One, that... precious one, no. You're without.
Precious one, no. But anyway, yeah.
It was a very special moment. It was very special. Couldn't believe it had happened. I left my body.
Every queer person was watching that being like, you're going to have to applaud for that one.
That means a lot for people to applaud. I live for the applause.
You live for the applause like a god. And then what happened next?
Next. Oh, my God. But 2 days later, our reigning... smiling queen.
I am
Ms.
the
Katy
the Katy cat of the two
Ms.
of us.
Katie
so this was
Hudson.
Wild. Yes, Miss Kate Hudson.
Oh You were in her music video.
For Not the End of the World with Mitra.
With Mitra Juhari, recent guest of the pod, and we did not even hint at that.
We knew that secret and we kept it the whole time. We knew we were going to be blue aliens in the sky with Zooey Deschanel. And also notice that both of us had, yes, an iconic pop star.
Yes.
But also an Emmy-nominated comedic actress along for the ride as well. And you had Kristen Wiig, the legend.
And you had Zooey Deschanel, the legend.
Truly?
Summer herself. You had Summer.
Oh, mama.
You were in a music video with Summer of 500 Days fame.
You clearly had this with Kristen Wiig because, like, she's so top of mind comedy icon. But I was standing there looking at Zooey Deschanel and I'm like, there was a time in my life when you were everything to me. Like, when I was in high school, I loved 500 Days of Summer. Were you a Zooey girl?
Don't even get me started. I didn't love 500 Days of Summer. I was obsessed with She and Him.
Oh, yeah.
Her music, I was like, she's really good. That first album, Volume 1, start to finish, really good. She does an amazing cover of You've Really Got a Hold on Me. Mm-hmm. And there's like so many great songs. This Is Not a Test, Sentimental Heart. I mean, it's such a good album. Volume 2, there's some cute stuff too. And then she would like, and then they started releasing covers. And I think she's just such a really good musician. She's the coolest, right?
She's the coolest.
You felt good vibes
from
her?
She's really cool. Unfortunately, she's so cool. Unfortunately, she had the best vibes ever. It was like very, very, very cool. And then here's a little secret. Here's a little thing that happened at the end, which I want to share. So at the end of the video, she gets dressed up as Katy Perry and does a performance. So she comes out in the look and everyone's like, yes, you look like Katy Perry. And she's like, I really do. And so she's in these really big shoes and she's like, this is not what I perform in. Everyone's laughing. So then she does a take of the song and she sings along. She goes, it's not the end of the world. And she's singing along and they do a take. And it ends and the backup dancer behind her goes, girl, you are hitting those notes. And Zooey Deschanel just goes, yeah, I'm a singer.
Good for her.
Yeah, I'm a singer.
Yeah, I'm a singer.
The backup girl was like, okay.
I thought those backup people were you and Mitra for a second.
No, I wish. We were in the crowd. My friend Alejandro was one of them. Shout out to Alejandro.
I just want everyone to give some applause to my friend Matt Rogers' Commedia dell'arte. I mean, you were really, I was watching that being like, this is not to use the word in like the contemporary sense, but you were giving like true like clowning. I was like, this is really, really good. This is like really solid. Like any child would watch that and be like, oh my God, who is that? Like they would like really respond. Like you were giving such good physical comedy. So, and like, it was just so wonderfully executed, and you and Mitra were just so good together. I respect that, my sister.
Thank you, sister. I think that's why I was cast, because I am a cartoon. But it was really fun. And honestly, my state of being in normal life is Katy Perry music video, so it really worked. But let's just say, I also said to Bowen before, I was like, this sketch with Dua and Kristen was so genius. We have to shout out all the writers. We have to shout out Fran
Gillespie.
We have to Fran Gillespie, Steven. Will Steven.
Wonderful.
Unbelievable. And like that setup was just so genius. Like USO concert and then that shit happens. It was essentially like the boy is mine meets It's Not Right, but it's okay. And it was so like just a genius game to think of. And you guys killed it.
It was, I think she wouldn't mind if I said this, it was a good like half and half thing where Fran came in and was like, I have this idea where it's like a USO performance, like the beginning of White Christmas, but then like you and Kristen come on and sing, and then she called it, you sing a booty ballad. I was like, I don't know what that means, but okay. And she was like,
ballad.
You know, just like a song that's like kind of like silly and like about like anachronistic, like she kept saying that, of course. And I was like, okay. And then we were just pitching songs and then I was like, oh, it has to be It's Not Right, but it's okay. She was like, yeah, let's do it. And then we brought Will in. Will was very good at pitching the lyrics and all of the cutaways.
This mess again.
Well, I think that was me. And I'm very proud of that line because Joel quoted it. And then Sudi quoted it to me too. But then Will was very good at just writing lines for the soldiers when they cut back to them being like, now help me, is this a play?
My favorite was, help me out. Is this a play?
Very dumb. Very dumb.
I loved it. I thought the whole episode was so good. Kristen was killing it. Oh my God. She in that, the mom sketch, the sketch where it was like, and I got a robe. She to me was like, I loved watching her do sketch again.
One of the most precise performers there's ever been comedically, I think.
Precise. That's such a good word to describe her. She is like, it's like so, everything has such intention and it still feels fun.
Even when I'm like watching the new season of Big Mouth and she's, you know, Jesse's vagina and I'm just like, oh, this is like all of Kristen's reads are like so sharp and like they hit and I'm just like, God, that is so special. And then I was telling some of you guys this, you guys in the group chat, I was just like, I was staring at her at the read through just because I was like, I just need to sort of study this a little bit. And then Heidi and I would go back and be like, oh my God, like it was just so special to just get to watch her like be in her element. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really, really cool. This sounds so cheesy. I'm just purely very happy and grateful that like any of that happened. And no matter what, I was going to be like, this is going to be a fun week.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. And, you know, we'll see. And it was really fun.
And the duo of it all, honestly, can we just say, she fucking crushed. Ugh. She crushed. Like, she executed, like, Dua Lipa at the highest level. Like, her performances were so disco. They were so fun. The staging was gorgeous. Her dances were amazing. The costumes were phenomenal. That levitating,
yes, but she was unearthing, like, all of these, like, 90s. That cheetah print bustier is, like, from the 90s. I forget who, but it's, like, this, like, vintage item. And then, I guess, but
the
The levitating thing is ostrich feather Valentino, and then she wore like Mugler.
Yes,
Mugler for the fucking promos. I mean, she looked so phenomenal. Was so good in both performances of the songs. I'm a dumbass, and I've rewatched the levitating performance a million times, and I was like, ugh.
See, that's me with Don't Start Now. I've watched the Don't Start Now performance a million times. It felt like a party. I was like, oh my God, wait. There's been some really fun musical performances this year at live shows. Like, this is insane, but I always say Doja Cat at the Billboard Music Awards, I thought was a slay.
Doja Cat at the VMAs was a fuck. I've seen that performance a million times.
Incredible. She has impressed me so many times. Megan at the BET Awards. Like, there's been so many amazing performances, but Dua doing Don't Start Now at SNL, you could tell when she was like, happy holidays! Like, at the end, when she was like dancing, I just feel like that to me, it was so clear to me in that moment that Don't Start Now, like, it could win Record of the Year at the Grammys. Like, I think it's got a really good shot. It's a party.
It's been out for over a year, and it still feels fresh and fun and like, ugh.
Yeah.
I will say this.
It's really a party.
I told her as soon as I met her, as soon as I met her after Fran had gotten in before me and pitched the sketch to her after it got picked. And Dua was like, yes, I'd love to. And like, I'd love to be there for blocking. Like, that is very generous.
Yes, hard worker queen.
She was like, it's a live performance. I'd rather be there. And we were like, of course. And so she was going to stay an extra few hours to block. And then I like walked past the hallway when she was walking out. And then someone on her team, I think, was like, oh, this is Bowen. He's going to be in the sketch with you. And was very cool for like 2 seconds, and then immediately was like, I have to tell you this. Studio 2054 was my favorite like, moment experience of the year. It made me, it came out the week of Thanksgiving. It made me feel like I was dancing, like I was at the club with my friends. And like, I think that's what, and like, it just made me realize that you've been doing that the entire year. Like, even before the album dropped, with Physical and with Don't Start Now, it was just like, like, you are bringing back this, like, because remember for the longest time, all of us were like, God, like, don't we miss like bangers, like all killer, no filler pop records? Because the last one before, because for the longest time, what was tiding us over was like Emotion, I guess, by Carly Rae Jepsen. Something that was just like beautiful.
And Kim Petras, what she had put out in terms of pop bangers.
Right, but then like a Dua just like delivered on it in a way that was just so thoughtful and so carefully curated. You have to watch the Song Exploder episode on Netflix of her talking about love again.
Oh, I heard all about it. Yeah, Matt Whitaker was telling us about it, actually. I feel like she put out, like, yes, it was all hits, but it was also concept. You know what I mean? It was executed concept, and also I think it was a huge improvement over her already fucking great debut album. So, you know what I think? I think she won Best New Artist and took it really seriously. And she was like, okay, like, I actually got this, and I want to make it worth everyone's time and anticipation for my next album. She came back. Her images, her concepts are fully realized. The music is fun. It's good. It's varied. Like, you know, the whole thing is fun to listen to. And it's what you said. It's actual hooky mm-hmm. pop songs. But it doesn't feel like it no. sacrificed anything to execute what it was exactly. as a piece of art.
And then I was just, I kept telling her, I was like, throughout the week. And she was just so warm and cool. And just like, I very, very deeply understand boundaries more and more. But it yeah. felt like she made me feel comfortable enough to tell her multiple times throughout the week, like, thank you for Future Nostalgia. Thank you for coming here. Thank mm-hmm. you for being generous with your time.
Yeah.
You, what you've done means so much to me and my friends. Like, this was my, this came yes. out during lockdown at a time when I had no anchor on my own, like joy or emotions or anything. And like, it truly, like the fact that you pushed the release date up meant that you cared. Mm-hmm. And I was just like,
a benevolent queen, let's just say.
I kept telling her, I was like, I don't do this with any of the musical guests that come through, but I have to tell you how much like what you do means
yeah,
to me.
Well, she's,
means to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Well, she kept everyone like having fun with music, like for the yes. longest time, like in terms of like so many artists gave something different and special this year during pandemic times. And also, you know, it is a choice to release your music during this time, knowing you could hold it back. I mean, you could, you yeah. see artists doing it. Like no one, like people everywhere are holding their albums back. And you know, we don't hear from some of the major artists, but everyone that did was amazing. But Dua did it from, like you said, mm-hmm, the year prior. Mm-hmm. Like it was like all throughout the year, she sustained herself. She stayed in the conversation. And she deserves all those Grammy nominations. And to be honest with you,
I'm rooting for her.
We always say, like, who really cares about them? But I am rooting for her as many times as possible. And I say that on a podcast where we did an entire episode devoted to Folklore. I love that album too. But now if she can win next year with Evermore as like a way to honor them both, maybe she should, because Future Nostalgia is the truth. And if The Weeknd isn't in there, then, you know, in terms of what we feel, I mean, Future Nostalgia yeah, was the album.
I believe so. Oh my God. I'm sorry I went on that huge Dua tangent. It's the 11th day of culture.
It's the 11th day of culture. And speaking of the future and of blue aliens, not for nothing. But can we say Segway Kings? Name another legend. Name another legend. Segway down.
Oh my God.
Bitch. This day of culture is—it's a twist. Whoopo! Can we say this bitch got me a Nintendo Switch, and I did not get him a gift. And we said we weren't doing gifts,
and I was like, Matt doesn't have to buy me a gift because Matt went above and beyond for my birthday, which was pretty recently.
I wanted my sister to feel like a frosty girl on her 30th, for sure.
My sister came through, really came through. I bought my sister, my precious one, a Nintendo Switch because I want him. Because
this girl got me a Nintendo Switch.
I want him to enjoy the works of Shigeru Miyamoto before an exciting historic moment comes up. And we will talk about this later.
Oh, we'll be talking about that one.
I was just going to say that we're recording this on the first day. It's been a while since we've recorded. We're recording this on the day after Vulture came through and gave us a cute, very, very lovely, write-up, mini write-up. Thank you for that, Vulture folks. We love you very much. It made us very happy.
Very, very.
Because we were even, yeah. you know, because we've even said on the pod, we're like, I am very proud of the fact that we have stayed goofy and stupid and silly, but tried new things on the podcast this year. Maybe by necessity, maybe because of pandemic stuff. But, you know, it still feels fun. It still feels new. And I love my sister.
I love my sister, first and foremost. And the way it kept me going all year, knowing that I was going to see my girl. And also, to be honest with you, I love the way we do this weekly. And I know there was the tug of war that was, are we going to have me go to the East Coast, you come to the West Coast, on and off. And now I kind of feel like I'm kind of loving the situation of we keep it topical and can speak to each other and the readers in real time. Yes,
of course. I agree. I think we answered the big question that was sort of set forth before we embarked on this iHeartRadio journey. Thank you, iHeart.
And we love iHeart. We're talking like it's the last episode. This is the second last episode of the year. But wait, I do want to say, just to Vulture, just so I can voice it as well, like, that was really, really nice, especially this year. And everyone that was excited for us, that they named us number one, that said, you've been listening for, you know, upwards of 4.5 mm-hmm. years now. That's just the coolest. And we do love you guys so much. And it is the highlight of, I know, and my week for sure. So it's just, we love doing this and we love all of you so much. And with that in mind, we give you our 11th day of culture. Let's give the sing in.
On the 11th, on the day, 11th of culture, day of culture,
it was date unknown.
James Cameron gets an idea. The idea? Avatar. Oh my God.
Oh, this was such culture.
A gift.
This was beyond culture. This, it transcended.
I agree.
This gift, oh my God, it transcended all of time. It touched music. It touched imaging. It missed 3D. You felt like you were there. That was the big thing about this one, Bo. When you bought a ticket to this and put the goggles on, you felt like you were there at Pandora.
And you really walked out of that theater thinking, maybe this song, I See You by Leona Lewis, will be as big as My Heart Will Go On.
I see you.
I don't remember the melody. I don't remember the hook.
Girl, I know the entire song.
We send prayers up to Leona.
She goes, walking through a dream, I see you. She is giving you the drama of it all. You couldn't tell her she wasn't singing My Heart Will Go On Part 2.
Celine
returns.
I really wish Leona Lewis all the best, because she also sang the theme song for the American release of Final Fantasy 13 called My Hands.
My Hands? How'd that one go?
My Hands! My Hands! My hands, they will not let me go. They will not let me go. It was truly epic. It did not really fit with what was going on in the video game at all. You could tell they had just pulled from her album and they were like, this will work. And it's a tie-in and it's like a way to like sort of broaden the market for this game that no one's going to think is actually good. And it ended up being sort of a failure. But Leona Lewis was there and you have to look up on YouTube, if they're still up, these ads of Leona Lewis playing the damn video game. She's playing Final Fantasy 13 while the song is blaring in the background and she's going, this is so fun. She does not know, has no idea what the fuck is happening. And it's like, oh, this is gorgeous. Like, that is culture.
Wait, that reminds me of, did you ever see the video of her? Like, well, there's an interview of her that I watched, which was her being asked about, and this was recent I watched it. Yes, I was looking at Leona Lewis interviews recently.
Yes, of course.
Okay, that's how it's fresh in my mind. But she was being asked about being a part of the Avatar movie, and she goes, well, I'm a huge film buff. Huge. And first of all, I thought that was
go
so
off.
Funny. Just like she probably is, but like for her to be like, I'm a huge film buff. So I had been. And she was like, and I've been hearing about the film for quite some time. And she knew about the film. And then there's like video footage of like James Cameron and Leona Lewis like walking around like whatever, like soundstage, whatever. She was like, she got to see like the early plans. She was like, well, I got to see all the early plans. And it made me sing it even better. I feel like it made me sing it even better. And so then it's her singing it. And you're just like looking at her sing this insane bridge where it's like, all the colors of life and of life, evermore.
Oh my God.
She's just like screaming ever the word evermore. Okay.
She was first.
And she is screaming, and in her eyes, you can just see that she's thinking of Pandora, you know? She's like so, she's just like, her arms are like searching. She's like, I'm here. I'm on the planet of Pandora. I'm with the Na'vi. I'm here. It's the Tree of Life. It's
flight
all
of passage
happening.
Before
and she is
flight of
performing
passage.
The song.
She was riding the Banshee
Mama,
before all
yes.
of us.
Speak on that one. Okay, so girl, wait. This was a gag of my life when we went on Flight of Passage.
Before
Avatar
we move
Land.
On to Flight of Passage, the way we impassionately spoke about Leona Lewis, she needs to return. The enthusiasm is there.
That's because it's rule of culture number 100.
Leona Lewis
must return.
The enthusiasm is there. I wish her all the best.
She sang Bleeding Love, bitch. There's no disrespecting Leona Lewis on this podcast.
On this podcast?
That's actually not going to fly.
Never on this podcast.
And you ask why? Because she sang Bleeding Love, and that's a timeless classic.
That hook, timeless. You can't beat that hook.
Keep bleeding love. I mean, people could work their entire life and never get that shit out.
Like this is the thing. Like James Cameron, they come up to you and imagine you're a vocalist and someone comes up to you and says, James Cameron wants you to sing this song for his new movie that's going to be historic and crazy and a blockbuster. You say yes.
You also are told, and by the way, you're sort of the Celine Dion of the project. Because that's actually rule of culture number 9. Leona Lewis was the Celine Dion of the Avatar project. Which is huge.
I hope she makes a return in the sequels. Do you think they'll do that?
I would pray to God that there are more ICU-esque type songs, because ICU gets paid dust and it is such an epic, big, stupid ballad that we need to respect more. And you can't listen to it on Spotify. You cannot.
You can't? Why?
Girl, you act like I don't look 3 times a week. I am always trying to listen to ICU. I'm always at all times trying to listen.
We have two change.org petitions that we have to start. Readers, are you listening? One.
Yes.
Spotify, put ICU on Spotify.
Now. And two, post-haste.
And the second one is, James Cameron, you must bring Leona Lewis back for at least 3 out of the 6 forthcoming Avatar movies.
Okay, so now that that's out there, let's sort of move on in the 4 minutes we have left in this episode to cover this. This movie, would you remember when you first went to go see Avatar and all the hullabaloo?
Well, I mean, I think I got a ticket the second week it was out. Because do you remember 2009? Christmas 2009? You couldn't not want to go to the
movies. Like, what a time.
Total opposite of what's going on now. Everyone was trying to go to the movies.
Oh, my God.
Everyone was trying to go.
This was Christmas movie. This was holiday movie culture. This was a big ass. And also, like, everyone it being like, it's the follow-up to Titanic, I feel like created this furor of like, even if the movie was bad, which we could talk.
Yeah.
But even if that was and is the case, it didn't matter, because when I tell you I was weeping with the Na'vi when that tree got burned up by those evil humans. I was so on the side of the Na'vi. It was unbelievable. I was like, I'm ready to leave Earth. I'm trying to live amongst the Na'vi because they get it.
Jake Sully. Yes.
Which, by the way, people tell me I look like Avatar version of Jake Sully all the time.
That's not a bad compliment.
No, I think it means people want to fuck me raw.
Through the hair. Come on.
Okay, and let's talk about this part. Mm-hmm. You know how sex feels amazing?
Can you imagine feeling it on the tips of your hair?
Imagine feeling sex in your hair. I used to do, when I was doing stand-up more like years ago, I would do a whole bit about like how incredible it would be to feel sex in your hair. Like, you know when you wash your hair, it feels so amazing? Like, even when you scratch your scalp, bitch, the avatars, they have sex. The Na'vi, excuse me. They have sex with their hair. That probably is the most euphoric feeling. Mm-hmm. I can't grasp. Because sex famously feels good in our butthole, which hurts. Meanwhile, hair? Honey.
The hair don't hurt. It shouldn't.
No.
Hair don't hurt.
Because you got those nerve endings, bitch.
Come on.
I would die for that.
I have to allow some time for you to talk about Flight of Passage. For us to talk about Flight of Passage. But Flight of Passage is for you. I was there with you.
No, you did your first time. And I remember being, it was crazy how bad I felt when you were there because you were doing like an improv.
With Michael Hartney.
Yes, and co.
So it was Chrissy, I think Chrissy Shackelford was there.
Wasn't Sunita Mani there?
Sunita Mani was there. Michael yes. Hartney was there.
Eric Gerson.
Eric Gerson, yes, yes.
That I was mean, a when you guys one. Were all doing that, when you guys were down there, and I knew you were going to do Avatar Flight of Passage before me, I was on the verge of tears. But then so what was it
we
like?
Together.
By the way, for everyone that doesn't know, what we're talking about is the number one main reason why it's good that Avatar exists is because there's World of Pandora at Animal Kingdom at Disney, and you go, bitch, and I'm telling you, here's a tip. Do a little bit, microdose a little bit of mushrooms, or take an edible, go there towards
absolutely.
Dusk at night when it's starts getting bioluminescent, you will gag. And then you get on Avatar Flight of Passage, which is a motion simulator where you ride on the back of an Ikran, which is those beasts, and you are gagged.
Yes. The moment of the ride is there's all this stimulation happening. You're flying through canyons next to all these giant monsters, but then you go into a cave and then your banshee perches in the cave for a moment. And there's a silent, peaceful moment where all of the little flowers start to float down. It's beautiful, truly beautiful.
You're riding it so that you feel it breathing between your legs, by the way.
Do you think that's sexual? I think that's a little sexual.
Baby, I was horned up on the ride. I was ready for sexual intercourse.
I knew you were.
So horned up. But anyway, it's unbelievable. And we did not get to experience it on my first time, not your first time.
Yes.
But that's okay.
That's okay.
Because we both had thrilling experiences. And ultimately, this is one of the best theme park rides I've ever been on. And the gaggery is at a high level. And thank you, James Cameron, for having the idea for Avatar. We don't know when. That's why it's an iconic
data known.
Sort of twist. Data unknown.
Mm-hmm. Data unknown. Well, I think we can leave it at that. There's not much else to really talk about when it comes to Avatar. I mean, you can make fun of it all you want. We're not here to do that.
I do just want to throw one thing out there, which is we just have to say the two words, which are Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana. Thank you, Avatar.
Never forget that Zoe Saldana had Oscar buzz for her performance as Neytiri. It really almost happened.
She deserved it.
And she was incredible. But we luckily have a million more sequels with Neytiri, Zoe Saldana as Neytiri, and Kate Winslet, who allegedly has... Did you hear about this? She now holds the world record for most time with your breath held on screen. She held her breath for over 7 minutes for one of the Avatar sequels. James Cameron made her do this. I am convinced he is trying to kill this woman.
7 minutes?
She held her breath underwater for 7 minutes. Kate Winslet, Academy Award winner.
Oh my God. And you know what? We are rooting for Kate.
At all times. At all times.
There was a time when she was a Woody Allen apologist and we were like, Kate Winslet, careful. But then she
that was
since.
Tough.
Come around and said, I was wrong to do that.
I mean, once she turned around in that hat in Titanic, she had the gaze forever.
And I should say that I'm not even saying that, you know, it's Kate Winslet is responsible for the actions of Woody Allen, but I'm just saying that she is without flies from now on.
Yeah.
And now we get to look back on Titanic and go, the hat. As soon as the hat came out of that car, she was with us.
The best thing James Cameron ever did was write in the script. Kate Winslet turns around in a huge hat and her first line is, it doesn't look as big as the Mauritania. She has a complaint. Icon.
My coat? One of her lines, one of her first lines. My coat?
Yep.
Very good.
Very good. Well,
this is day 11 of the 12 Days of Culture, our penultimate day. And to James Cameron and the entire team behind Avatar, we say,
I want to thank you for giving us the best culture.